Ohio pricing.
New Jersey says they finally had enough. They're actually talking about a new bullying law after this Rutgers suicide. Will it have any teeth? Also, Google has decided to tame the text. What does that all mean? Boy, we have a lot of blanks to fill in. And we're getting closer to November 2nd, so of course, what do the polls say? The predictions as to what races are tight, who looks to be pulling away, if there is any of that. And of course, in sports shorts, Monday Night Football, Giants versus the Cowboys. Here's a little hint. The Cowboys are not doing well, and Tony Romo has been injured. We'll explain. It's also a good time to plug the fact that we do Nail the Score. That's Thursday into Friday. Nail the Score is simply that. We're nailing the score. Week 8 in the NFL, our computer randomly picks the game of the week. You call in. You tell us who you think is going to win. What do you think the final score is going to be? Here's the cool part about it. If you nail the score, you clean out my prize closet. And let me tell you, that closet is bursting at the seams. All kinds of great coupons for food. You can take your lady out for some food at some pretty good places, plus a whole bunch of other stuff like movie tickets and T-shirts and all kinds of things. I don't want to say everything that's in the prize package because then it wouldn't be a surprise, would it? So much more fun when you get a package in the mail because rarely you get packages. Get a package and you'll have no idea what's inside except for a few things. Plus you have big fat bragging rights because you did what very few people have been able to do before you, and that is nail the score. Coming up this hour, great conversation with a man who is producing a movie. His name's Steve Rich. It's going to be kind of like a blindside feel-good story, and it's got a campaign centered around it called One Heart. And here's the scoop. What we see in our country with the criminal side starting so young, 13, you know, we're talking about the bullying thing, 13 to 19 years old, and you've got young men that are in prison, incarcerated in a maximum facility anyway, for auto theft, other kinds of burglary, sometimes assault and whatnot. And if they're in there and they're behaving well and doing what they're supposed to do, they have a chance to be part of a football team. And it's a neat story. I'm not going to give it away because now the script is almost done for this movie and they're going to start casting here in a couple of months and then start shooting the movie, they hope, if it's on time, by the beginning of the year. And there's a way they're going to connect as many people as they can in the United States. So off the top, my name is Kate Delaney. If you've never heard the show, we go coast to coast and all those spots in between. You can always throw in your 2 cents if the spirit moves you. I don't care what your stripes are. Keep this number handy, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. But we do have a couple of guests coming up next. First, let's talk about this deal in New Jersey before we even get into politics. The Rutgers thing was a terrible deal. And you know the story by now, the kid who was in his room and he was having a relationship with another guy, and of course his roommate thought it would be funny to videotape him and then pump it out there on the web. The kid's name was Tyler Clementi. He jumped off the George Washington Bridge. He was just 18 years old. Apparently he was a pretty talented musician, had no idea that he was being videotaped and that it was going to be webcast all over the place. So now the roommate and another student who was involved in this are charged with invasion of privacy, and they're looking into whether there's a hate crime charge that they could throw on top of this. And you've got states that are dealing with bullying in school. You have it in Colorado because of what happened in Columbine High School back in 99. So now in New Jersey, they're saying the same thing, that there's too much of this. And they are calling it just simply an anti-bullying bill of rights. And it would be probably the toughest state law, though, in the nation. Pretty tough is what they want to see happen here. There has to be some kind of repercussions so that people don't bully, so they know that if you do this and ultimately you are sent to court on a charge, then it's not going to be a slap on the wrist. It's going to be much more serious than that. So the bill's provision includes requiring public school staff to be trained in suicide prevention, how to deal with harassment, intimidation, and bullying. And the bullying prevention would be required of the schools, not just a, okay, we're going to do this because we think we may have a problem, or maybe we don't, but we think we should do it. I mean, right now, a lot of schools are encouraged to do it, but they're not required to do it. This would be something they would have to do. They'd have to have a policy on how to handle bullying if it's detected, all that sort of thing. Also, public colleges and universities would be affected because they'd have to have an anti-bullying policy as well, and then student conduct codes, and they would have to clarify what the bullying policies are and all that sort of stuff. And I think that a lot of people are so sympathetic to the parents of this young boy who jumped off the bridge and so furious over the circumstances of the suicide that it just ripped back the Pandora's box that is this huge problem across the nation. It's not just a movie from the 50s where someone pushed you, shoved you on the ground, called you a name or whatever. I mean, this is out of control stuff. So is this ultimately going to be something that will help kids? Is it something that is still just going to be another one of these, okay, we have to put these laws out there, we have to put these, I don't know, these requirements into place, but they don't go far enough? That's the concern. How far is too far? And how far is not far enough? And right now it's definitely not far enough because there's not so much the repercussions. In the case of the Rutgers student, I think there's going to be massive repercussions. It's just a horrific thing. And, of course, he was secretly videotaped, and because of the age factor, too. All right, now, elections. What's going on? Decision 2010, midterm style. Normally, a lot of times people don't care about the midterms, but this case, more than ever in my entire lifetime, people concerned with the gridlock in Washington. And so what does it mean? If the Republicans win both chambers, would there be more cooperations, more partisan cooperation? If you go back in history and you see a president who is not of the same party of those who are in the majority party, sometimes there actually is more cooperation. In fact, in some big situations with laws that got passed, we could say that that would be true. At this point, it looks like there could be a flip. There could be enough to possibly flip things. But looks like and becoming a reality are two different things, because there are plenty of races that are in virtual ties or near ties at this point, where it's just, it's not a blowaway. It's not somebody that you can tell is pulling so far ahead in any poll that you can't imagine that the likely voters aren't going to go in that direction. And Carly Fiorina and Barbara Boxer, they're going at it. We're going to let you hear a little bit of that later on at the tail end of this hour. And, of course, that's California and the Senate seat and the California governor seat that's open between Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown. Has gotten interesting, although Brown has pulled ahead, so there you got the Democrat ahead. Pretty much we're seeing the Senate races that are really tight, like in Kentucky and in Pennsylvania. It's gotten tighter. And in Florida, it looks like Marco Rubio is the guy, the Republican, but still too close to call. Coming up next, you don't want to miss it, a couple of great guests. We're kicking the can down the road here on ATN.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
A little less conversation, a little
just imagine if you committed a crime and you were maybe 13 years old and you're in a maximum facility. That's what a lot of young men find themselves. That's the situation they find themselves in, 13 to 19 years old. One of those places is Gainesville State School. Now, at this school, you do have a chance, if you have good behavior and you're doing all the things you're supposed to do, to be on the football team. But the football team, naturally, you're always the away team. So you're the away team. You, let's face it, you're part of a criminal football team. There's got to be some hopelessness there. There's nobody cheering for you. There's no excitement. It's not a traditional football game, except for on the other side. So in 2008, though, things turned around thanks to a school in Grapevine, Texas, called Faith Christian, where they rallied the people around this other team, the opposing team. Can you imagine people lined up to cheer for the players on the opposite side of the field, to give them hope, to give them a sense of what it would be like to really be involved in an honest-to-goodness real football game where you were just a football player and you weren't labeled as a criminal. Now, that has become an even bigger thing. It's called the One Heart Project, and it includes this movie that's set to get started to roll maybe in a year or so with a lot of interesting things attached to it. It's just going to blow you away when you hear the story. It blew me away, and that's why today this is our daily salute. We feel very lucky to catch up with the producer of the movie and this One Heart Project, Steve Rich. Steve, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about, I kind of gave the thumbnail sketch of what happened. And do you think it's that people didn't realize that, oh, here's these gang of kids at this state school, and then, boom, the light bulb went off. Wow, what if we cheered for them? What if we did something for them? Maybe that would lift them up, give them some hope. Maybe we could kind of change their life around. It was, I guess, kind of a light bulb moment, right, for the coach.
It really was. I think, you know, this is a population that you mentioned, 13 and 19 years old, that are incarcerated. They're really kind of a forgotten population in our culture. People, I think, most often think, like I used to think, a few years back that these kids are criminals, they're getting what they deserve, and I'm just glad they don't live near me and date my daughter, you know. But what happened was, as the coach at Grapevine Faith began to investigate and find out who these kids are, the backgrounds they came from, what their experiences had been, and the fact that there really is nobody there for them, not only when they're playing football, but when they get out of prison. It's such a difficult situation for them. He thought, what would happen if we reached out to them and showed them some compassion, showed them that there was somebody out there that loved them unconditionally and wanted to accept them and help them get a second chance? And Chris Hogan, the coach of Grapevine Faith, determined, we're going to do this as a community. The community all jumped in from Grapevine Faith, and the results were phenomenal. I happened to be there, Kate, for the game that night on the sidelines and watched what happened, and it really was a phenomenal experience to see the way that expression of compassion began to change the lives of these kids from Gainesville.
So fast forward to what happened after that game. How did this project get that much bigger? It goes from a football game that, geez, let's try to do this every year, to now it's going to be turned into a movie and a big campaign to help a lot of these kids, not just in Texas, but across the country. How did that ball get rolling?
Well, we had been looking, our company, Eterne Films, had been looking for a project to turn into a feature, looking for a great story. And as I literally watched this game unfold before my eyes, it was like watching scenes from a feature film happen right in front of me. And I knew that this was a story that we had to pursue and see if we could turn it into a major motion picture. So we got the rights to it and began to work on the background of the story. And an interesting thing happened while we were doing the research for the story. We were up at Gainesville interviewing some of the young inmates at Gainesville and some of the staff members there. And while I was interviewing a young man by the name of Mac White, we stopped down to change tape. But you must be very excited. No, sir, I'm terrified. And I asked him why he was terrified, and he began to tell me, you know, I'm a felon. I don't know if I'll be able to get back into school. I don't know if anybody will hire me. And he told me that he'd been a gang member, and once the gang found out that he was out, you know, once in the gang, you're always in the gang. What will they do to me? We decided we couldn't just walk away from there and let Matt go home without us doing something to reach out to him. So long story short, one of the folks on our production team, a woman by the name of Carmen Studer, she and her family went down to visit this young man after he was released, and they ended up bringing him into their home. And Matt lived with the Studer family for over a year, got his life turned around, and really was given a second chance. And that really, Kate, was the start of the One Heart Project. We determined, you know, when you go to a movie and you probably think of some of the great films that you've seen that inspire you or touch you, and when you leave the theater, there's really nothing for you to do except go tell somebody, hey, you've got to go see this great film. But what if there was an opportunity for people to watch a film, and once they're motivated and inspired, that you actually give them something to do with it, that you give them an opportunity to be involved in the process of making a difference in the life of these young men. So that's how the One Heart Project started, and as you can tell, we're very excited about it.
And so, well, let's say right now, before we go to the movie side of it again, but if somebody wants to get involved with the One Heart Project, they can already. I mean, it's a nonprofit public charity. How do they do that?
They can simply go to the website, oneheart.com, and there's all kinds of information about the initiatives that are taking place in the One Heart Project to impact these young men and help turn their lives around, give them a second chance, and they'll be able to plug in wherever they are around the United States and participate in making a difference, whether they want to volunteer, whether they want to donate, whether they want to take a kid in their home like the Studers did, whether they want to donate gloves or socks for the winter to a juvenile prison facility in their community. Whatever they want to do, there'll be a place for them to jump on board, be a part of this movement, and make a difference.
The movie, moving forward with that, you're not at the casting stages or any of that at this point, right?
We're close. We're in the last couple of weeks of script development, and then we'll start into pre-production, which we'll go into casting here in the next 60 days and hire the director and whatnot. We've already begun discussions with studios from a distribution standpoint. So in the next couple of months, everything really will heat up, and we anticipate that we'll be shooting probably right around the first of the year.
Wow. And so you shoot the movie and go through that whole process, and the idea is to make it interactive so that when people come out of the movie, they can do something. They'll be maybe moved to do something, and there'll be avenues where they can go and be directed to right away.
Exactly. Yeah, the movie will give information at the end of the movie to tell them how they can get involved, activate them in the process through mobile messaging, through a website, and drive them into the process and show them how they can make a difference around the country and their own community with all the One Heart activities that will be taking place in communities around the United States.
And ultimately, what is the goal? Is to have help all around the United States, it sounds like?
It really is. You know, there's on a given year, there are about 2.1, 2.2 million teenagers who are arrested around the United States. And there's over 100,000 young men in the United States that are incarcerated in a juvenile detention facility. It's a large population of young men and boys that need to be impacted, have a desire to have a life change, have a desire to get a second chance. And you know, Kate, most of these kids come from really unimaginable backgrounds. Very few of them, only about 20% of them come from a household where they got two parents. A large percentage of them come from backgrounds where they've been the victims of abuse of some sort. They really have not grown up with what my kids have grown up with, the opportunities, those types of opportunities. So the goal is to activate a couple million people into the process to make a difference in the lives of those kids in communities all around the United States.
Wow, so it's just such a neat, neat deal. And you've got the Dallas Cowboys involved now, too.
Yeah, you know, because they are here in our own backyard, we're based in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. We had some coaches and coaches' wives and players' wives who jumped into the project. As soon as they heard what it was about and they knew that there was an opportunity to have a lifelong impact on a young person who desperately needed it, they have been so gracious to jump in and want to participate on both sides, participate on the movie and participate on the One Heart Project. We've got a group of coaches and players and their wives who are working on, particularly the wives, are working on this on a constant basis to see the One Heart Project get lined up. So, and we've had baseball players and corporate CEOs and football team owners and just a whole group of folks who, once they hear about the need and understand what these kids are facing and understand that there's nobody there for them, they've just jumped in. There's a lot of people, Kate, with a lot of big hearts who want to help these kids. So we're in the midst of something very special.
Well, we're excited about it, too, and we can't wait to check in with you and chart the progress. Steve, thanks so much. Steve Rich, producer of this, oneheart.com. Check it out. Lend a hand, folks, and thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of heartdrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network. Yes, yes.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
Your vehicle will have more horsepower,
30% or more.
Your vehicle will run smoother, quieter, and more efficiently,
like a high-performance sports car.
And you will save money on gas.
When you use EDGE.
When you want to save at the pump and help clear up our skies, get EDGE, Environmental Device Gas Efficiency. This message started with bold claims,
and we can back up every one.
Go to quickedge.com to learn more now.
Spelled K-W-I-K-E-D-G-E.com.
EDGE is a revolutionary, easy, and inexpensive new energy delivery system that can lower auto emissions within minutes. Many drivers who use EDGE have experienced an increase in their vehicle's fuel economy.
And it lasts for 3 years.
Make a difference in the world environment starting with your vehicle and get an unconditional money-back guarantee when you buy the EDGE at quickedge.com or call 888-203-5278. That's 888-203-5278. Or go to kwikedge.com.
Another fine quality product from Energetic Interactions.
Is cash king, or is playing it too safe actually risking your financial future? We talk about this all the time here on America Tonight. We've all been to the craps table, that's what I call the market, a few times, which is what has scared many of us away. So, do we try to find some safe plays on the market? Do we go for bonds? Do we jump wholeheartedly into gold? Financial advisor Clark Hodges stops by to try to sort it out for all of us here across America. Clark, thanks for joining us on ATN.
You bet. Good to be on.
You know, the market is really confusing to people. I think what happens is you hear, this is true for so many people, you hear about a buddy who got a good tip that this might happen, not insider trading information, but just some good tips.
Sure.
And they picked up some stock and made a fortune on it. Everybody's heard those stories, whether they're exaggerated or they're real. So there's confusion about what to do with the stock market. So what do we do? How do you look at the stock market without thinking, like I say, you're just one roll away from crapping out?
Well, I think people in this country and the news media in particular focus too much on the noise that is the stock market. In other words, the job numbers came out today and the market was down, or, you know, interest rates ticked this way and the market went up. And it's just the short-term focus of the market is way overblown. The thing that I tell people, the thing that I do is you need to look at the market as a long-term vehicle, not a short-term vehicle, but all the news is based on short-term stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, being in my business, I'm popular at parties because I can talk about a lot of companies. But when you go to these parties and you hear people talking about their stock investment, you've got to keep in mind that they're only telling you the best story they know or the best thing that happened to them in the market. They don't tell you about the stuff where they lost money or, you know, all the out of 10 stocks, they made money in one and lost money in nine. So it's kind of short-term focus. It's kind of too much, you know?
Yeah, and then what happens is people, sometimes you have the 401k, then you roll it out of that, you work for a different company, now you've dumped it into Scott Trade or whatever, and you kind of control it. People roll it into cash, and then there's confusion over cash. I know people that have been in cash for 2-3 years, but they're not earning anything. It's just sitting there.
Right.
That can't be
right.
A good move either.
No, cash is a halftime score. I mean, if you tell me you went to cash in July of 08, I'd say congratulations, you're winning at halftime. But when did you get back in? If you got back in March of 09, you were very, very smart. You're winning the Super Bowl because you had the best of both worlds. But if you get out, you've got to know when to get back in.
Mm.
And that's the challenge. You know, it's just like buying a stock. You can buy a stock, but when do you sell it? So there's two sides to every coin, but, you know, going to cash, to me, it depends on who you are. You know, if you're Warren Buffett and you can go to cash, that's great. But if you're trying to create wealth, if you're trying to grow your wealth, I don't think you really ever go fully to cash because you need the most important ingredient in investing is time, and you need that time. So if you sit on the sidelines for a year or 2 or 3 years, I think you're just hurting yourself.
So how do you know when to get back in? You know, that's they talk about this in every show on CNBC and the Wall Street Journal.
Right. You take it from when to get back into the market. You take it, you drill down to the specific company you're investing in. And you say, okay, I don't care about what's going on in the market. What about Home Depot or whatever stock I'm investing in?
Sure.
How do they look? Do they look overvalued? Do they look undervalued? Are they going through a growth period? Are they going through a leveling off or a going down period? So if you take it and drill down to the actual investment and say to yourself, should I stay in this or get into it? Then you're making a wiser decision. But if you just say, look at the overall market, that's 30 stocks in the Dow Jones. And, you really can't tell when's a good time to get it out. It's really a no-win situation if you do it that way.
Yeah, and what about some cash, some stock? You could do that, too. I mean, you don't have to dump everything you have into one stock. Sometimes people have this idea that you have to do that. That's wrong, right?
Right, yeah, that's just as risky as going to Vegas if you put all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
That's why mutual funds and ETFs are so popular, because they're a basket of stocks. They're really diversified. In some cases, almost too diversified. But in some of the funds we manage, we might have 60 or 70 stocks in the fund, and that's diversified enough. But putting your money in one stock, that's crazy.
If you look for a mutual fund, is it good to look for the dividends? Because then you get something on the outside, right?
Yeah, I think that's one of the lessons we come away with after 08 and beginning part of 09 is if you can earn a dividend income while you own a stock, you know, then you can feel better about going through the tough times. So one of the areas that's really more popular in investing now is equity income, where you're getting a dividend yield while you own that stock. For example, Johnson & Johnson pays a 3.3% dividend yield. So if you own that stock a year and Johnson & Johnson's stock doesn't go up, you at least made 3%.
Right.
If it goes up 10% and you get that yield on top of it, well, you've made 13% of your money. So that's a really popular way to invest right now because of that dividend.
Yeah. What about I like gold? What about gold? Like, a year and a half ago, you could have got gold at a song, and now look how high it's gone up.
I don't get the whole gold thing. I can tell you when I was a little kid, my dad, for 1 year, I was probably a 15 or 16-year-old, he gave us an ounce of gold for a gift. And I believe at the time, it was probably $400 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's $1,300 an ounce.
Well,
That was I'm 44, so that was several years ago. And I just think if you had your money in the stock market in a few mutual funds, you would have done better return than owning that gold. I really do think that. So I don't get the whole gold thing. One of the reasons I think stocks are better than bonds is because they don't keep up with inflation. And that's kind of the same story with gold. I mean, if you put your money in a 30-year bond in 1973, let's say you had $100,000 and you bought a 30-year bond, Well, you could have gone down with that $100,000 and bought 10 Cadillacs. In 2003, when you got that $100,000 back, you went down to the store and you could buy one Cadillac. So that bond did not keep up with inflation. I got to believe, and I do believe, is that if you put that money, that $100,000, in the stock market in 1973 and took it out in 2003, you would have way better kept up with inflation and been able to buy you, you know, many, many Cadillacs.
Yeah, I got you. I see, but if you had gotten it like 2 years ago, let's say you had just a small play, then you could make a little profit. But then that means you're really paying attention, and that also means that you're diversified across the board. Would you recommend that you're just not just one thing, but you're kind of – you have a few other things happening with your money out there, not just one direction, not just all in the market?
I personally believe you can get all the diversification you need in the stock market by playing growth stocks, by playing dividend-paying stocks, by playing contrarian stocks, stocks that sometimes will be doing good, sometimes won't be doing as good, but you can get all that diversification right there in the stock market. And unless you're so wealthy that you just need to preserve your wealth, then you can buy bonds and just, you know, get tax-free income off of them. But I think most people are in a category of trying to grow their wealth, and I think you can do it all in the stock market personally.
Okay, so we understand the dividend stocks. Explain the growth stocks, that it's futuristic. You see it, you come in at a low level, and it's going to grow.
Yeah, it's like buying a kid that's going through a growth spurt. I mean, if you are an up-and-coming company and you've got a product or two that you think are about to do really well, you want to get on board with that company before the growth takes off. You know, look at a Google or a Apple computer years ago. If you could have gotten in when that growth spurt started and just owned that stock while that growth was going on, you'd have done wonderful. And then you also need to look at, so when that growth slows down is the time to get out. Growth stocks traditionally have a higher multiple, higher price earnings multiple. So if they're earning $1 a share, you know, they may be trading at 20 or 30 times earnings, and that's growth. But if their growth slows down, then that multiple will decrease rapidly. So you need to be in it when the growth spurt's going on, and kind of be ready to get out of it when you see that growth slowing down.
Yeah. What about the contrarian stocks?
You know, the contrarian stocks are a fun way to play the market, because one thing that's for sure is Wall Street, the herd mentality is there. And Wall Street has this mentality that they see a trend going on. They think it's going to go on forever. But a lot of times these trends will stop and somebody will come in and figure out a way to make a profit at a company. A good example of that is the newspaper stocks. Last couple of years, most everybody had said newspapers are going to go away, the internet will take over, and nobody will be reading newspapers anymore. And a lot of the media companies like New York Times and Gannett, that owns USA Today, and I live here in Dallas, the Dallas Morning News, B-Low Corporation, those stocks were so depressed, and you couldn't give those things away. And if you went to that party and said, I'm buying B-Low or New York Times stock, they'd have laughed at you because everybody in the country thought newspapers were going away. But the nice thing about buying those stocks is that if somebody can figure out a way to make those companies profitable, then you've got a great opportunity for those prices to really, really go up fast. And B-Low and Gannett and New York Times have done that. Another example is airline stocks. You know, airlines are so unpopular. Now they're starting to make money and be run as businesses, and their stock prices have done well. So kind of buying where everyone else is selling, so to speak, is kind of a good way to play the market sometimes.
All right, great advice from Clark Hodges. You can check him out at HodgesCapital.com. Thanks, Clark.
Thank you very much.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea, T-E-A.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Soon we'll be shutting our doors and windows, shutting out fresh air for months. Did you know you're also keeping in allergens, bacteria, and germs that cause colds and flu? What if there was a low-cost way of blanketing your home with clean air? There is. Introducing the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. It utilizes new patent-pending nanotechnology, producing a blanket of oxidizers that cleans the air and sanitizes the surfaces. Imagine not spreading the cold or flu bug to everyone around you. AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. Fires are made in the USA, come with a 3-year warranty, have no filters to replace, no grids to clean, and require no maintenance for 3 years. Try the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier risk-free for 30 days. GCN listeners, get $100 off when you order at breathebetterair.com or call 806-477-0322. That's 806-477-0322. And get the best air purifier for the best price at breathebetterair.com.
Better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
All right, time for a little odds and ends here on America Tonight as we zoom literally from coast to coast. The biggest thing going, and I said this at the top of the hour, really is who are you going to vote for November 2nd? And, of course, that depends on where you are and how many folks you're voting for in the first place, even on the local level, the state level. Are you one of the 37 states? Are you living in a state where you're electing a governor? And then we go from there on the national level, the big flip. Will the House turn? Will the Senate turn? At this point, it's all speculation. And it's all about the polls and numbers and what the citizens feel need to be done as far as our representation. Let's put it this way. I honestly think that, and I know we say the same thing over and over and over again on these airwaves, but it's just the truth. I don't think I've seen this much frustration. Does it translate into people showing up in droves to go and vote for the first time in a midterm election that they can ever remember? See, that's the thing. There's always all this talk, wah, 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 how upset people are and how they're going to make a difference or they're going to rally the people in their own backyard and get them to go out and vote. And then they don't show up and vote. They don't show up and vote. And that's the thing. You got to go and get your rear end out of the lazy boy, and you got to go and vote. If you want to try to make a difference, trust me, do not listen to the people who are out there saying it doesn't matter. That's not true. It does matter. Here's a strange thing that's happened politically. Interesting story out of Alaska, actually. Alaska Democrats and Republicans are actually agreeing on something because there's, of course, a big chasm there like other places. The State Division of Elections is providing voters with a list of write-in candidates at polling places. That's nice. Here's the write-ins. Here's the write-ins. Like they're handing out the church bulletin when you walk in. So both the Dems and the Republicans sued the Division of Elections on Monday. They're asking for a restraining order to stop election workers from giving out these lists of the write-in people to anybody who asks for it. And you know why? Why do you think that's a big deal? Because the incumbent, Senator Lisa Murkowski, who was beaten by Joe Miller in August in the Republican primary, is doing a write-in campaign. So that's what they're doing, pretty much. It's like a sleight of hand. It's like the three-card Monty. So an attorney saying that the state regulations are pretty clear that information regarding a write-in candidate can't be discussed or exhibited in any way or provided at any of the polling places, and they've got a hearing set to try to determine what the course of action is going to be. It's just going to have to discontinue it. That's what it's going to be, because wouldn't that be convenient? Just hand out the write-in thing. You know, here's your write-in candidates. You could do that every season. It's like a list. Here's the appetizers. This one's really good. You should go in this direction. All right, so we move from the craziness of Alaska and handing out the menu, if you will, of people who aren't listed on the ballot to this one. Mayor Bloomberg in his third term, okay, we know this is the guy with the giant ego who wanted to be the three-time mayor. It was just 2 years ago he had the law extended so he could go for that third term, which he easily won, by the way. Now he's saying he supports a ballot measure to set it back to two terms. So he decided he wasn't going to run for president in 2008. Remember, there was that discussion. Then he persuaded the city council to extend the term limits, arguing that the city needed him to get through the financial crisis. And he promised he'd put the question before the voters again. Now, this is what the voters are going to decide on. They do get the chance, so the ballot asks whether to amend the two terms. If the voters say yes, the law gets changed back to a limit of 2 4-year terms. If they reject it, the three-term law stands. Ooh, I say two terms. Are you kidding? Get another billion in the air in there like Bloomberg or whoever you get in there. And I think you need term limits even for a governor, because 8 years is a long time, let alone lop on another four. I bet you the people in New York go for the two-term limit. I'm for term limits across the board. I think it's better because there, you can hear a politician say time and time again that, you know what, I need more time. If I'm here, it takes this amount of time to get through the system, to get to the point where you're actually effective. And, I mean, that's ridiculous. Then they need to move up the timetable. Can you imagine if you were in the job? You know how they have, some of you have job descriptions, and in your first year, you could barely get out of the gate and say, well, you know, I'm just starting out here, and by year five, I will have gotten down what I'm supposed to do on this job. You'd be out of there in 2 seconds flat. And I know there is things that you have to maneuver around, and that's part of the problem. It really is too much of a big machine that somebody can't catch up quickly, somebody with a brain, somebody smart enough to do it, somebody to jump into the middle of it. It's like anything else. Let's use a sports analogy. Getting called up to the bigs, if you're in the minor leagues and then all of a sudden you get caught up to the bigs, well, you're either going to sink or you're going to drop back or you're going to sail. And you're either dropping back or you're going to stay up in the majors if you have the right stuff to do it. And so the ones who grab the brass ring perform, and they'll be able to stay for the most part. Unless you can't cut it, then you fall back. So you can't be, that's the problem with politics. You can't cut it, so you get to fall on this, I need more time, I need more time, I need more time. That was the craziest thing of all that Harry Reid said, and I don't think that he meant to say it, to be honest. in this tight race that he's fighting for his life, his political life, was against Sharon Angle, a completely unknown newcomer to the game. He made that one statement where he said, I just haven't gotten done the things I needed to do. It's just not enough time. I thought, wow, he needs somebody to write his stuff for him and rephrase that, because 28 years is a very long time. I know he wasn't referring to everything that he's done. He was referring to some very specific things, but it did not come off that way. All right, we did a ton on bed bugs here on the show. We talked to a couple of different people. I know we talked to Greg Stevin from Men's Health and Bob Diener from GetARoom.com, and both emphasized how bad it was in New York City, Greg's magazine being based out of New York City and living there, and Bob having to travel all around the country and seeing what New York was grappling with. And I guess the bed bugs are so awful that now they're showing up in places like the Empire State Building, Lincoln Center. There's a lot of anxiety for people who are visiting New York. They're even canceling trips because they think the Big Apple is just now one big bed bug. And they don't want to stay in the hotels. They don't want to even go to the attractions like the Empire State Building for fear that one of them is going to, a bed bug is going to somehow travel with them. And this is a blight on a $30 billion tourism industry. Besides going to one of the Disneyland or Disney World in Florida, Disneyland in California, when people come to this country from other places, they all want to see the Statue of Liberty. They all want to go to New York. So this is having a real effect on people and travel, and it's making a lot of those who make their living on tourism, making them very, very uncomfortable. A lot of them worried about what's going to happen to their income, and can you blame them? And finally, here's something to talk about with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell thing. There's a group, a gay rights group, that successfully sued to overturn, you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And they said on Monday that national security would be irreparably harmed by allowing gays to serve openly while the federal government appeals the case. The Log Cabin Republicans, that's the name of the organization, asked the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to let stand an order by a lower court that barred the policy. Now, this move comes on the heels of, remember, got to follow the bouncing ball here, folks, a three-judge panel of the appeals court imposed a temporary stay that, in effect, reinstated Don't Ask, Tell 8 days after a U.S. district judge issued an injunction halting it. That's where all that confusion, that's where it all comes into play. If you have any confusion or just some thoughts on the show, send it to me at americatonight.net.